This is Pivot Perspectives with Chris O'Byrne, the show that takes you around the world to share interviews with some of the most successful and relevant people on the planet. Hear their stories and get the most important business lessons they've learned on their road to success, and get exclusive access on how to implement their success into your life and business. Pivot Perspectives is brought to you by the Strategic Advisor Board and your host, Chris O'Byrne.
Brian McDonald, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Chris.
I am excited because there is so much to dig into here, especially with what you're doing with On Purpose Growth. And I want to get a little bit of background of what led up to you starting that company.
Yeah, so it wasn't planned, right? I've been in sales my whole 23, 24 plus year career. And, you know, my business partner, Jeff, and my other business partner, Gavin, would sit in a room together. We were doing Jeff actually sold a focused B2B networking group where it was about 12 to 15 people, all non-competing. And we met for half a day a month, and we would talk about referrals. We would talk about each other's businesses. We would help each other. And one day he approached me and said, "Hey, I want you to quit your job, and I want to start a company doing X, Y, and Z for entrepreneurs. And I've seen you in a room where I'm going to do the strategy, the consulting. I need you to be the coach." And I'm like, "What?" Right? Like,
oh my goodness.
And then, you know, I believe, you know, everything happens for a reason. There were a couple of things that, happened in my life. One was the business I was working for, a bunch of weird things were happening where it was kind of like, you know, I don't know if I'm going to be here for staying here for the long haul probably isn't a good strategy. One major reason is it's like, oh, the business owner is going to sell the business at some point. Right? So, and second was I had a guy in my network around the same time reach out to me and say, "Hey," his name's Eric, said, "Hey, I'm leaving the banking world. I hate it. And I want to go into financial services. I love markets and things like that. And I want you to teach me everything that you know." I'm like, "What?" He goes, "I want you to coach me." So I actually would meet with him every Monday in the office building he worked in. We would eat lunch together, and he would pay me $50. And in 6 months, he was top three in every metric that his company met, and he was on his way to make $500,000.
Oh, and wow.
Like, "Whoa." And I mean, right. That wasn't what I did with him was a correlation, not causation, right? Like it helped him, right? He had to do all the work. And finally around that time, my business partner, Jeff, kept bugging me like, "Hey, come on. And I finally said, "Screw it. I'm making the jump," right? Because at the time too, you know, I think my wife was pregnant with our first kid, or we just had her. And it's like, "Hey, come home to your wife and go, 'Hey, I got this fabulous idea. I'm going to go quit my job that's paying me great. I'm going to go start a business, and I'm not sure how much money I'm going to make, but I want to do it," right? Like, that's not an easy conversation. That,
oh,
for
man.
Any sane married man, it's not a sane conversation, right? After that, I talked to my wife. She goes, "Screw it, just do it." And here we are, you know, almost 10 years later.
So, yeah, okay, that's good. I was wondering how that progression happened. And so you are, so within that company, there are three main players.
Yep.
Three partners, and you are the coach.
Yeah, that's just my personality style, right? It's what we learned the principle of staying in our own lanes, where I help clients with strategy and things like that. I understand all the strategy stuff that Jeff does, and I help people implement it. It's just, we pull each other in when it's most relevant based on what's happening. So like for consulting businesses, when we're doing consulting stuff, you know, I'll go in and I'll work with Jeff and the CEOs and things like that, but I'll just be kind of, you know, number two in the background. Jeff will be running it. And then when we take all the strategy, process, and things, and we implement it into sales teams, I take the lead and Jeff comes in on second, right? We're involved in the whole thing. It's just who's leading the charge changes.
Got it. So now on the website for On Purpose Growth, it says movement that matters. What very specifically is that movement that you're focusing on?
So it's sales and profitable growth, right? So movement matters means how can you strategically how can you build strategies and processes that make you very efficient and effective in the marketplace? Can I give you a real-time example?
Pro, yeah.
Yep. So there's a company here in Chicago that we were working with that sold temporary heating and cooling equipment. 90% of their business was to the construction space, and 10% was to the I'll call it the retail single unit commercial real estate businesses, right? And when we went to, they were like, "Hey, we've been stuck at $10 million, and we can't get over this, right? We're not sure why." So we go with them to their with their clients, and we interview their top seven clients with them, and we say to them, "So here's the value we think we bring. We're reliable. We're on time. We're price conscious. I forget what the other one was, but it kind of around reliable." And they said, "What do you guys think of that?" And to the T, they all go, "Eh, I mean, that's okay, right?" We knew, because the company was running by second generation daughter. They said, "We knew dad when he had a dream in a truck, and we're just loyal to him. And when price comes up, he always fixes it." And we're like, "Okay, great. We cannot duplicate that, right? This is not it's not duplicatable." So we asked them, "So why is it that you're reliable? Like the value that why is it that you can do the value that you bring?" They said, "Well, we got this internal process that basically anytime a piece of equipment is ordered, before it gets on the truck, we test to make it that it works. Then we drive it to the job site, and before we take it off that truck, we test that it works. And they know that 1 to 2% of the time the machine is defective, right? And then they switch the machines out and they get it there fast. Where their competition are just drop it off, and many of the times it doesn't work, right? Because you're taking it from job site to job site, they're not taking care of it, it's sitting out in the rain, whatever, right?" I said, "Okay, so your clients don't really care about this, right? So who else in the marketplace does this matter?" And they said, "Oh, this other 10% of business that we're doing, those people, if like think about it like a Panera. In you're in Minnesota, I'm in Chicago. In the middle of winter, if I walk into Panera and on the outside it's 10 degrees, and then I walk into Panera and it's 10 degrees too because their heat doesn't work, I'm gonna turn around, I'm gonna walk out to somewhere else, right? Like and then like with food, there's a bunch of food rules, health
Oh,
rules
yeah.
around it, right? So these people care that when something happens, that when they order it, it gets here fast and it works because they can't open their doors. They don't make money if this thing doesn't work. I said, "Okay, perfect." They go, "But here's another thing. Our competition, the big boys in the marketplace, they are very unreliable. Like 50% of the time when these people order the stuff and it shows up, it doesn't work. So it takes them really long time to fix their problem." So we said, "Okay, perfect." So what we did is we built a strategy around this that we tested, and a process. And we noticed that, oh, boom, people actually move. These people actually say yes faster, right? So we crafted an if you sign a retainer contract with us and a piece of machinery doesn't show up that works, we'll pay your day's lost revenue. In 9 months, revenue went up $1.7 million and profit went up 1.8 because this is way more profitable business than the construction company beating them up. And they literally grew in Chicago, and then the owners wanted to move to Dallas, and they took this strategy, went to Dallas, and created a market there with it.
Got it. So you, man, you really dug in, looked at their whole system, and pulled out what they really weren't able to quantify or express until you worked with them on that. And that 10% has, I'm assuming that has since grown more than 10% at this
Oh,
point if it's
yeah.
working. So, yeah.
This was 5 years ago, something like that.
I'm sure it's a big part.
we weren't even involved in them going to Dallas, right? It was like once, I mean, our job is to get clients to not need us, right? So we got to work ourselves out of a
Yeah.
job. So once we implemented this with the sales team and said, hey, here's the sales process. Here's what you're listening for. If you don't hear these things, move on because you're standing in front of a prospect that looks like one that isn't. So, and once they got going, they skyrocketed, right? Because that the strategy was the, how do I say this correctly? The path of least resistance. It didn't have a friction in the sales process. Where in the construction space, it's like, oh, well, I don't know if I want to switch and I'm not really very reliable and you guys are just a little bit high. These people had they were focused on a completely different concern, right? It's like, oh, you can make sure that I'm open. I'll sign that. I'll sign it,
Yes.
right? Price, I don't care.
What company wouldn't?
Correct. Correct. Right. So it's all based on something called the theory of constraints. Theory of constraints, if you're not familiar, it's very, very much akin to like Lean Six Sigma and continuous improvement. Yeah. Because their challenge was they didn't see that they had an operational effectiveness that they could leverage into the marketplace. We didn't change what they were doing. We just focused on, hey, let's figure out how to do that more.
Can you, for the listener who doesn't know about the theory of constraints, could you give an overview of what that is?
Yeah, theory of constraints basically focuses on throughput. Like, how do you look at a business as a system and create throughput where things run efficiently? Like, identify bottlenecks and root causes. And either remove the bottleneck or make it less inhibitive, right? So like for instance, their bottleneck in sales was the fact that they were talking to the wrong market. That so when we shifted it to the right ideal client profile, it removed because the objection, these people didn't have those objections, right? And they could just and also too, operationally, their throughput on equipment from moving it from one place to the next and making it work was very efficient, right? So we just took that and leveraged it into the marketplace because you know it's about sales is about being able to bring people in and through and then stay in
And
your system in an effective way. Or if you just got to keep pushing through, push them through. Like some people just the transaction happens and that's it. Where these people, the transaction happens multiple times, right? It's a contract. It's not a once and done deal. Am I making sense?
yeah, absolutely. And it gives me a little bit deeper look into, well, into how deep you go, because I previously I was a chemical engineer. I worked in the
Oh.
paper industry, and I remember how intense just process control was and process management. And a lot of what you're doing with customers is really some of those very same basic principles. So I think I want people to understand that it's not a simple, easy, or even ineffectual process. Even just to apply the theory of constraints, it can make a very big difference in your business, in your revenue, in your reputation. There's so many pieces to that. So overall, then, when somebody wants to know what does on purpose growth the company do, what is your answer to that one?
It's increased sales through strategy and process. Because if you build it, we believe that if you build a better system, your people or you, if you're operating that, can be more effective, right? Like skills, sales skills come secondarily, right? They're important. I'll say it this way, skilling up a sales team or yourself as an entrepreneur, kind of running your own consulting business. Getting the skills is necessary, but it's not sufficient enough to get you to where you want to go, right? Because I can be a highly skilled salesperson, but if my strategy is flawed, my skills don't matter. Right? I'll give you another example of how you apply strategy and noticing patterns. So I have a client early on when we were working together in the first 2, 3 months. He's a fractional COO, EOS integrator, and he was telling me all these stories about in his pipeline how he was talking to visionary CEOs who didn't really have was piecing together a leadership team, right? It wasn't complete. He had a couple pieces, and they were looking for a fractional person, fractional COO, fractional integrator. And he may have closed like one out of 15 or 12 of these, right? And they would elongate the sales process. They would kind of drag along. They'd be not committal. And then he was telling me stories about visionary CEOs who have a leadership team that are looking for a full-time integrator, COO. And he would just get into conversations with them around, thinking around what to do, like a thought partner, right? Like, hey, how should I, you're an expert in this area. How should I think about this? What do I ask the person to do? And I think it was four of four conversations he had, that person would go make an assessment like, wait, I don't need a full-time person. I need somebody to do these things and you can do them. Can you send me a proposal? So I told him, I said, hey, here's our strategy is you're going to stop talking to people who want a fractional COO, and you're just going to get yourself into conversations with people who want a full-time person because there is less friction in that sales process and those people actually buy. Right. So here's your strategy, right? So it, on the fractional people, it doesn't how skilled you are in sales, that buyer, that profile doesn't move as fast as the others. So just focus on the others.
Oh, that's brilliant. So what I'm seeing is there's a lot of strength in dealing with the sales team and the sales process, but you're holistic because you understand that that can't go anywhere if you don't have the operational side, the strategy and the processes stream in place and working right and streamlined and doing the things they're supposed to be doing. And so that's probably okay. That gives me a pretty good overview. Now, when you come in and work with a sales team, somebody says, please come in and improve my sales team, my sales process. What does that process look like?
Usually what they're looking for is a less of a transactional environment and more of a relationship. So I'm doing a lot of listening and question asking skill development, how to co-create offers with clients, right? Have them, kind of tell you what they want and then package it back up to them and say, hey, so this is what you want. Is that what you want to do? Right? Because it's those are the sales skills that I think are most important, right? How do you interact with somebody so they break down the wall or the barrier that they're putting up to protect themselves from you, right? Because it's natural in the sales world, it's natural. It's like, hey, I'm going to tell you as little of the information as possible. I'm going to hold back some stuff, but I'm going to hold you guilty when you're wrong of inaccurate information that I never told you, right? So how do I get people to be transparent? I was talking to a client this last night. He's like, when prospects are transparent and vulnerable with me, we make so much progress and I can actually help them. And it was a layup question to him. I said, so how are you doing that? Right. And he goes, I'm transparent and vulnerable. I go, yep, that's exactly how it works. Right. So I'm kind of going all over the place here, but, it's communication and interaction versus closing techniques and tips and tricks, right? Because we live in a world that, everybody wants to buy, but nobody wants to be sold. Right? So how can you help people buy? So it's helping them qualify people like, hey, not everybody is a prospect. I referred to this earlier. Somebody that looks like a prospect, but it's not, because they're actually never going to buy, right? Because it's about spending more time with the right people and less time with the wrong people. qualifying people and then taking them through a sales process that they find valuable. It's not, it's more, it's mutually about both of you than one other person. Funny, my Zoom keeps
I
going.
know. I don't know how to turn that off. That is the strangest thing. It
I
must be built
know.
into the system because it shows up on Zoom too.
There's balloons that fall too.
Oh my goodness.
Anyway, sorry. Yeah, so it's teaching those skills, listening, I'll call it consultative selling, right? I think we're in the world of consultative selling more and
Yes.
more because of what I said. People want to buy, they don't want to be sold, and they want a partner. They don't want somebody that's going to shoot them with their sales gun and run, right? And it's like you build this, it's kind of like a slowly starting moving train. It starts chugging along, and then once that thing gets going, it's really hard to stop it, right? And that's what really, as an entrepreneur or a sales organization, that's what you're looking for. You're looking for the train that can't stop. You don't want the roller coaster, right? And when people approach it this way, my experience is, they get that success. They get the I call it the path of least resistance in their sales organization.
Can you think of an example of that kind of transparency? Because I would imagine there are some instances where a salesperson is used to doing things a certain way, and then they are taught that they should be more transparent. I'm thinking of an example that would be like, oh my goodness, I can't be that transparent. I can't say that.
And I'll preface this with this. When you learn this and you apply it, you understand how powerful it is. It's super powerful, right? A good example of transparency. One simple way is coming into a conversation. And people hear it in your tonality and your body language of saying, "Hey, Chris, I just want to listen to understand what's going on because right now I'm not even sure if I can help you." Right? Now, granted, some people use that tactic as like a,
Yes,
you know what I mean?
as a
Like
tactic.
as a tactic, right? It's the genuineness, like, and it's along the way going, "Hey, if this is your problem." Right? Like, we're not really good at that. Right? Like, I know you want this problem fixed, but I got to tell you right now, we're really not good at that. It's being transparent like that, because people realize you're on their side, of the table. Another way of like transparent vulnerability is like if they're running into a problem that, causes them pain. Maybe they start, what's a good example? It's like I realize somebody is, they're experiencing a problem which is making them work all the time, right? And you kind of know that they have a family. I'll go, "Hey, like, how are you doing this? Because what I know to be true is when I'm working all the time, my family suffers, right? And I had a conversation with my daughter about this the other day, and here's what happened." Blah blah blah, like kind of going in that direction, and people go, "Oh wow, you're a human too. Now I can, st now I have permission to just be a human, and now I'm going to open up and go, you know what? This problem is manifesting in my business or in this business, but here's how it's manifesting in my life, and I need you to help me resolve that, right? Because really, you understand what I'm saying,
Yes.
right? It's like, what's the core issue? The core issue is I don't have the." Like hypothetically in this situation, the core issue isn't I've got this business problem. The core I that's a symptom of the actual problem. The problem is I can't go hang out with my family, and if you help me resolve this, it gives me more time to do that, right? This is how it affects me personally, right? And if you can build relationships like that, you can't, nobody can take that away from you, right? Like I've got a guy who was the when I was in the insurance space, he was the CEO of a law firm. He was not an attorney. He was just a CEO of a law firm. And I built a relationship with him And when he left that business, he went somewhere else. And he called me up and he said, "Hey, I need you to come over here." And then, and I started my, and then right after that, I started my coaching business. He takes off to Knoxville, becomes the president of a company, and a year into that, calls me up and goes, "Hey, our guys need help. I need you to come down here. You can help these people, right?" He's calling me, bringing business to me because he knows he can trust me, and I'm not just gonna, just sell him something. Like I'm gonna actually take care of what he needs, right? And I can call him on a. If I call him, he returns my phone call, right? I can text him on a Saturday if needed, right? To solve a problem, right? I have full access to the guy, as does he, right? And we're sitting on the same side of the table. He'll tell me things about the CEO of the company, like, "Hey, when you go into this, here's what you need to listen for, and here's what you need to watch for, because we need you to come in here. So I need you to go handle this conversation."
Okay, that's a very deep level of transparency.
Totally.
Yeah, and that, yeah, you talked about the genuineness, the authenticity. It really does come through. People feel when you're just using a line or when you're actually coming in there and they know if you're coming in to sell or if you're coming in to consult and understand before you even talk about what you might be able to help them with. Yeah, I've
It's
seen
like that.
that.
It again, it's a slower moving train. When you start operating like this, right, you're gonna sell, but the more that you do it, the more kind of tidal waves it leaves in the marketplace, where people just start finding you because you're getting referred. Because people go, "Hey, you can go talk to Brian. You got a problem, you can go talk to Brian, and he's not going to sell you something if he can't help, but you should go talk to him," right? And it's just like tidal waves of referrals and business because everybody believes that you're a thought partner, a consultant, not just a salesperson. They actually don't view you that way.
It really it shifts the relationship completely.
Totally.
So when you go in and you start you've been hired to come in and help a company, I would imagine that you're very from the depth of what you do, very data driven. And you really take a look at things. So when you come in and start looking at things, what are those pieces that people of information that people provide you with? What are you asking for when you first go in?
What we're looking at is what's your conversion rate, and why do you think your conversion rate is what it is, and how are you implementing your strategy? Like, what are you doing to implement your strategy, rather the tactics, and then in regards to client retention, what's attrition like, right? Like right now, we're working with a company who, went. It's a technology company, right? And they're bringing clients in, right? But more than 50% of their clients are rolling off after month 4, 5, and 6, right? Right. So, what we took a look at is, what's your sales process? Where are people, entering and leaving, how are they rolling out, and where are they going, right? Are they just not, are they doing this on their own somehow, or are they going to, another service provider? And what's the market like, right? Like, how much of the market do you have, and how much do we need to get, right? What's top, total market. So it's things like that. But we're also, well, in addition to, we're also actually going in and saying, in regards to data, what do you think your problem is? And then what's the root cause, right? We're mapping things out, because I'll give you an example. I sat in a meeting with a client who, I was working with their customer service and sales team, and they were telling me, we have a client problem where our people are not talking to, our people aren't talking to our clients and giving them enough information, right? And then shipments are late, I'm like, okay, how many shipments? You know, what is this like? What's the frequency on a monthly basis? And I kept digging in, and I said, okay, so how often is your operations team meeting, and how is the shipping person communicating with everybody else? And here's what I heard. I heard, well, operations stopped meeting 6 months ago, right? They just don't do that meeting to communicate. Second thing is, that person running shipping is isolated and not interacting with us. And then I started asking questions around that shipping person. I'm going, hey, you don't you do because there was also information like, okay, how many shipments where your customer sends the truck and picks it up versus you order the truck and send it. And they were like, well, it's like 70% of the time the customer sends the truck, right? And there was a bunch of like they were late or they were changing things around. I said, hey, you don't have a customer service interaction problem. You have a shipping problem. Right? Like you got to kind of piece it all together, but like you don't need to go yell at your customer service team, but they're just dealing with the data that they have. They're not actually causing the problem. They're reactive. They're being reactive to something else. I said, we need to go talk to your customers about being more efficient of sending trucks and sticking to those schedules because they're actually blaming you for the problem that they create.
And who would have thought within any company really that communication would cause such an incredible difference, such a big effect on everything else in there? And that's just one little communication piece. It's not even communication as a whole.
Correct.
Were there communication issues beyond that? Was it, systemic?
Yeah, that was just an example of what's happening, right? Across the company, people just weren't communicating, right? And part of it is what's the process on meeting cadence and what actually is happening in meetings, because that can facilitate communication, right? Like, here's what we're going to talk about. Here's the frequency of what we're going to talk about it, and here's how we're going to handle things, where you can actively manage problems versus just constantly reacting to them.
Got it. Let's dig in a little bit into your coaching and your coaching style. How does your style of coaching differ from, let's just say, the typical run-of-the-mill business coach?
So clients tell me that the difference is they learn ways to be more of themselves and authentic, which then sells more for them, right? Because they realize that even though I'm selling this service, people buy me first, right? This is why the soft skills of listening and question asking and all these things are so valuable, right? People want to do it. They just don't necessarily know how to show up and do it, right? Like the intention's there. It's like, hey, how do I do this? So that's one thing. The second thing is I believe that because I consider salespeople entrepreneurs, right? A majority of them create anything from nothing, and I'm working with them as well as with fractionals and consultants, people who own their own business. And I believe that business growth or sales growth is 50% who you're becoming and 50% skills and strategy, right? The person you're talking to right now isn't the same person that started on Purpose Growth like 10 years ago. Not the same person, right? And as you grow, your business grows, right? It can't, the version of you today produces certain results. And if you want better results or different results, you have to have a different version of yourself. So, and I had somebody, a lady, who's an outsourced packaging engineer, I think she calls herself. And we've been talking about working together, and She's actually in Minnesota, to be honest. And she said to me, Brian, a year ago when I started this business, I didn't realize I was signing up for a personal growth and journey. I was like, yeah, you got it, right? So I focus on that is helping people become who they want to be, and shifting from sales to that part, right? And contextually, like actually everything that in regards to client and prospect interaction that I believe in and I philosophize in and I teach, it can be applied in the real world, right? That's what I tell people. I go, hey, this concept, go use it with your family, friends, people that you can't lose with, and see how it works. And they're like, well, that was great. Like, because it's just interacting with people, right? Because it's there's it's not necessarily sales. You're stereotyping sales, right? That's one thing. And and then kind of going more back to some of the specific sales stuff, I iterated this before. It's we work on strategy and ideal client profile first before anything else, because the core of success is getting really clear on who your ideal client profile is. And I mean really clear. Like, you need to learn how to think and talk like them. And then that helps drive your strategy. It tells you where to go, who to interact with, how to find them. So a lot of the stuff, is easier, right? Where I'm not jumping in just, helping people create more leads. We slow down to speed up, because I'm more interested in long-term growth than short-term success.
It's a very consultative approach.
Totally.
Yeah. So what are some of the challenges that you face when you are working with a client?
As much as I can help them create quick results, everybody is very anxious to win now, right? And don't get me wrong, like I want to win now too. And I kind of just said this, I'm more interested in long-term success than short-term success, right? So it's helping people slow down to speed up, and understand that, we're going to create the path of least resistance. This just may be, challenging, right? Because the problem that they show up with is like, hey, I just need to, I just want to create more leads. Help me create more leads. I'm like, well, if we continue to do what you're doing now, we're going to scale what doesn't work. You're going to get a bunch of, yeah, it's like the story I told about the fractional person, right? I could have helped him create more conversations around fractional help with somebody looking for fractional help, and that just would have, taken 1 out of 12 and taken it to 2 out of 24, or double that, right? Versus no, like let's figure it, let's focus on this other thing, and let's talk to less people and convert more. So that's a challenge. That's a challenge that most people show up with. And really, now that I'm thinking about this, it all comes from it's an iteration of who their ideal client profile is, and how what they do on a daily basis is attached to that, right? Because your habits are attached to that, right? And helping them form the right habits, and the ones that are effective, is something that happens as well, right? Because we all want to create different results, but the habits that we have now produce the current results that we have.
So you really, it goes back to that personal growth. That's almost the main definition of your work is transforming them as a person.
Oh, totally. I help them become who they want to become, right? Because the growth in sales is about the person that's on that end of it, right?
So how do you help them do that?
It's a process. I would say one way, and I was talking to a client about this last night, is in the beginning, being, and this goes to the transparency, vulnerability thing, going, hey, this is going to be really hard. This is going to be hard. I'm not going to joke you. I'm not a magic pill. Do you really want to do this? Because I'm gonna challenge you. I'm gonna point out when, the things that are good, and I'm gonna point out the things that are like, hey, this is kind of getting in your way. Do you see that? Right? And sometimes it's gonna be tough. And having them understand that, because I know that to be true about myself. Right? Like the only good things only, how do I say this the right way? Really good things come on the other side of hard things.
Ah, yeah.
Right? So it's one, getting them in that awareness of like, hey, this is going to be challenging and hard. Because then we can partner together. They realize that I'm on their side. I'm not here to beat you up. I'm here to point out the things that help raise your awareness. And then once we raise your awareness, then you can change, right? Because without awareness, you're not going to change, right? You're just going to be stuck in the, you know, in this in the same patterns. I would say that's probably, you know, the biggest thing. And one way that I'll say test that, and it's not testing, right? One way that I try to vet out an ideal client is I'll ask them some, I'll say tough questions in the sales process. And if they're responsive, meaning they go, oh yeah, that's a great question. Like, oh, it's because of this and this and this. Like, that's why I kind of do that. I realize that, oh, this person wants to work on the hard stuff, right? Like,
They're coachable.
correct, right? And it's coachable in certain things, right? Where I'll ask them things outside of sales. Like for instance, I'll be specific. It's like they're worried about reaching out to somebody, right? Like I'm like, okay, so what's the story that you tell yourself around that, right? And then like, oh, here's a story. Okay, so what's that all about, right? And we're gonna get into something personal. We're not gonna get into something sales, right? Because there's a story that they're overlaying over their activity that drives it, right? It's you know, because people live in narratives, right?
Oh, yes.
People live in narratives, right? So I'm trying to help them notice the narrative, or AKA, what's the story you're telling yourself? And then how do we rewrite that story? Can something else be true, right? What else is possible, right? And a lot of times it just goes into them working on something on themselves that not just makes an improvement in their business, it makes an improvement in, you know, in their life.
Do you ever assign books for them to read?
Oh, totally. It all depends on, you know, the kind of what's showing up, right? There's books that can touch people that are just kind of dipping their toe into it, and there's books that can, you know, just go right to the heart of things.
So, what are some of those books other than Peak Performance Mindset Tools for Sales?
Yeah. touche. There's the obstacle is the way. I forget
Oh,
the name of
yes,
the author.
Ryan Holiday.
Yeah, obstacle is the way. There's also another one. I was looking at it. It's the art. Oh gosh, what is it called? I'm having a brain fart. The book is basically about the fact that, you know, persistence and cha persistence is constantly needed because challenges are always going to show up, right? And the difference between somebody who succeeds and somebody who breaks through what they want is the person that, you know, looks at challenges as a way to grow and learn, right? Because I tell people like, and you probably know this, entrepreneurship is not a straight line. You know, if you think this is going to be easy, right? It's not. Another one is You're a Badass by gosh, I'm having a brain fart this morning. It's a woman who just talks about her journey on starting a coaching business and how she went from like zero to a million once she decided that she's just going to change things, right? I think it's like you're badass and you don't know it. She wrote a couple books, then something. That's
That's all right. Okay. Jen Sincero. Yes, I've heard
Sincero.
of her.
Yep. Another one is in sales is Patrick Lencioni has a book called This Is Not Personal Growth per se. It's called Getting Naked,
Yes.
which was a
Yeah.
great business fable on how to just be a human in sales, right? Like, that if somebody doesn't want to go deep, that's one of the ones I offer up because then they'll start building a story around like, oh, okay, here's how I have to, here's how I have to, right? Which is way more effective,
Totally.
right? And then you can kind of dive into the a lot deeper stuff, right? So those are a couple of books. Sometimes it depends on the person how deep they want to get. It's kind of whatever shows up in the moment for me.
That makes sense. It depends on who you're dealing with and what they are dealing with, and yeah, it's yeah. So what are, and we're getting into the wrapping it up phase, and I like to leave with the words of wisdom. I would imagine you've learned a lot of valuable lessons and seen some things that people should be applying to their business and their life. What are some of those words of wisdom that you'd like to leave people with?
One we kind of shared and is hey, this isn't going to be easy, right?
Yeah.
Like it's not, right? If this was a cakewalk, everybody would do it. This is about who you're becoming as much as growing your sales, the number of sales you're bringing in or the revenue of your business. Another thing is mindset trumps technique 100% of the time, meaning kind of relating to what I just said, it's not the technique that you're doing, it's who is doing it, like the who you are that is doing it, right? That is the difference, right? You don't have to be, a lot of times people are like, okay, what do I say here? How do I say this? I said, okay, I'm going to give you the words in the beginning, but what we have to do is you have to internalize this and we need to get it coming out the way you say it, right? Because I'll give you the words, but you have to develop the mindset and then you're going to say this in your own personality. And it happens every single time, right? It's just, they're like, okay, perfect. Because then they learn the intent, or the core of the philosophy versus repeating things, right? Because if you're repeating things, you're going to seem very, inauthentic. And I would say, I would say in sales, learn how to communicate and interact with people. Like, lose all the strange closing tactics and
Yes.
because people pick it up. Yes, and yes, they will work sometimes when you're in front of a buyer that just has to buy and they'll put up with it. But most people aren't going to. Not in my experience. Not in my experience.
And today more than ever, I have seen that it has been a huge shift in the whole buying and selling process.
Totally, right? And then lastly would be, strategy and process matter more than skills. If you want to make fast progress, focus on those things. And when I say skills, I say, your stereotypical sales skills, not the communication part, right? I've just seen way too many clients and people win big when they focused on the best strategy for them, and created a process around it that they could just repeat over and over and over again, where they win with ease, right? Less effort, more success, right? Because growing a business or, running the score up in sales is more about giving you back freedom of time, than it is just making money.
Perfect. Yeah, that's a good wrap up of a lot of what you spoke about, because a lot of what you spoke about in this interview really are examples of these words. So, a lot of consistency there. So, is your website onpurposegrowth.com the best place for people to go to learn more?
Yeah, you can go there. I hang out on LinkedIn a lot. All my socials end in McDonald Brian, last name, first name, Brian with a Y. Somebody took the Brian McDonald, so I just flipped it.
Of course.
And then also, I have my own personal website. Go figure, McDonaldBrian.com.
Awesome. And I'll make sure all of those are in the show
Awesome.
notes and people can click and find them. Thank you
Cool.
so much for coming on today. This
Thank
was a
you.
fantastic interview. I knew it would just be chock full of value. So,
Perfect. Thanks for inviting me on. This was fun.
you bet.
Thanks for listening to Pivot Perspectives with your host, Chris O'Byrne. Please leave your feedback and visit strategicadvisorboard.com to get the latest and greatest business advice on the planet. Follow us on social media for updates, and we will see you on the next episode.